for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, December the 27th, 1992. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Noel of Salina, Kansas is the speaker of the afternoon.
Today I'm going to bring you a teaching on rebellion and pride. But I want to start the teaching with talking a little bit about the Bible and the gap in the Bible. You know, the Bible was written as the history of the Adamic race. And the Bible doesn't tell us everything. It only tells us what we need to know. There's a lot of stuff that there's lots of things that have happened that the Bible doesn't bother to document because we really don't need to know them. Open your Bibles to the beginning, to Genesis 1:2. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." The next sentence says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Now those words that are translated "without form and void" are very interesting words. The word translated "was" there is a Hebrew word that can alternately be transferred "became." And if we look at Genesis 2:7, and it says, "The Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That word "became" there is the same Hebrew word as we have translated "was" over here, and it is that way in a number of places. That word could be very easily translated either way. It was translated in Genesis 19 when it said Lot's wife became, they call them, a salt. And so we could say the world became, the earth became without form and void. Now the words "form" and "void" are holo and bolo. And they're two words that appear several times in Scripture. They appear one time we want to look at where they both appear together again is in Jeremiah 4:23. And here, God is speaking of the coming judgment. Jeremiah is looking into the Spirit and he's seeing the judgment that is coming on Israel. Starting with verse 23, it says, "For my people are foolish, they have not known me, they are silly children, they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, they do good, but to do good they have no knowledge." And then he says, "I beheld the earth, indeed it was without form and void." That's the same words. And the heavens held no light. "I beheld the mountains and they trembled, and the hills moved back and forth. I beheld there was no man and no birds in the heaven at all. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land became a wilderness, the cities were all broken down by the presence of God in his fierce anger. For thus the Lord said, the whole land shall become desolate." These words appear several other times in the Bible, one other place, and it speaks of the judgment on Moab, and it says it becomes a howling wasteland. The word tolo appears two other times. Bolo appears about 17 other times. In every place it appears, it speaks of judgment, howling wasteland, of vanity. There's one other scripture. Let's look at Isaiah 45, verse 18. "For thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, a waste, a tolo." God didn't create the world that way. Something happened between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. We don't know exactly what happened, but we have glimpses of what happened. The great number of supplications not supplications, but suppositions have been made as to what happened. And people look at mythology and they look at all these things and said that this was at the time of the planet Atlantis, the continent Atlantis, which sunk into the sea under God's judgment. And these are all suppositions. But we do know that something happened. Let's look at Job 38. Job 38, 1 to 7. And here the Lord is questioning Job out of a whirlwind. And looking at verse 4, he said, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? Or to what were the foundations fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone? Or when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy." And the sons of God have already been referred to in Job as the angels. And so we know from this that the angels were present when God created the earth. He created the angels apparently before he created the earth. And so there was a period in which the earth was created, the angels were present, and we know that there were certain ruling angels, or archangels. Arch in Greek means a ruler, the same place we get archbishop. These Gabriel is mentioned, Michael is mentioned, and Lucifer is mentioned. Gabriel is mentioned in Luke when he appeared to Mary. He's mentioned in Daniel when he appeared to Daniel. And he said he stood before the Lord. Well, let's look at Luke 1:19. Luke 1. And here we have him appearing to Zacharias. In verse 19, the angel answered and said to Zacharias, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak these things to you and bring you these glad tidings." And then in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph. Okay. And then in Daniel 8, we have Gabriel who brings a revelation to God, to Daniel. And then we have Michael in Daniel 10. And Michael also appears in Revelation. Let's look up Daniel first. We'll take the time to look all these things up so you'll see they're there. Daniel 8:16. "And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the river who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision." Let's look at 9:21. "It's just while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, was called to fly swiftly and reach me at the time of the evening offering." Now let's look at Daniel 10:13. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the kings of Persia." And verse 21, he refers to Michael as Daniel's prince. And the last one is Lucifer. Now, Lucifer means light bearer. And God created a beautiful angel named Lucifer, and he was called the light bearer. It's an interesting thing. In Old English, matches were called Lucifers because they bore light. And if you read Charles Dickens' stories, that he will refer to a match as a Lucifer. So let's look first at where his name is mentioned. Let's look at Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14:12. Now here in the middle of Isaiah, we have a passage that refers, "How you've fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground? You who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of the congregation
on the further side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And there we have the five I wills. I will ascend. I will exalt. I will sit. I will ascend the heights of the clouds. I will be like God. And here we have Lucifer rebelling. And this is what a picture of. Now let's turn to Ezekiel 28. And here we have a prophecy. And the whole chapter of 28 is a prophecy to the nation of Tyre. And the first part says, verse 2 says, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seats of God in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god. Though you set your heart as the heart of a god, behold, you're wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that can be hidden from you, from your wisdom and your understanding. You've gained riches for yourself. You've gathered silver and gold into your treasuries with great wisdom and trade. You've increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Thus says the Lord God, because you set your heart as the heart of a god, behold, I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of nations. They will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor, and they'll throw you down the pit. You shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the sea. Will you say before him who slays you, I am a god? But you shall be a man, not a god. In the hand of him who slays you, you shall die the death of the uncircumcised in the land of the aliens, for unspoken, says the Lord God. All right, so the first part is written to a earthly prince who has elevated himself to godhood. Now the second part here says, Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentation against the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God. Now, this is a different entity. This is a spiritual entity over Tyre. And he's speaking, You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Well, you know that the king of Tyre wasn't in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, and sardis, and topaz, and diamond, and beryl, and oxal, and jasper, and sapphire, and turquoise, and emerald, and gold. And the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was created for you on the day you were created, was prepared for you on the day you were created. Well, now, we know that Satan was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, but he was there as a snake. But here he was in the Garden of Eden, covered with all precious, beautiful creature. And it says, You were an anointed cherub that covers. Now, if you'll make a study of the cherubs, you'll find that they are the people, they are the chariot of God. They surround God and praise Him day and night. They are the creatures with four faces, and they surround the chariot of God. And they are the chariot, and they carry him forth, and they have the wheels. If you want a picture of the cherubs, read Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 10. And then just look up the word cherub in your concordance. It's a very interesting study. But this was a cherub. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Oh, iniquity. And so here we have this perfectly beautiful, magnificent creature on the holy mountain of God. The workmanship of timbrels and pipes speaks of music and worship. Verse 16, by the abundance of your trading. Now, if you look that word up in the Hebrew, it means merchandising. It means selling by the voice. It is the same root word that applies to the talebearer in Leviticus 16:19-16. It's the same Hebrew words, the same root. And so what Satan did was he was a merchandiser. He sold his stance. He sold his rebellion to the angels, committed to his charge. And most Bible commentators will tell you that they think a third of the angels fell with him. Can't you see him? I can just see him going back and forth saying, you know, God doesn't really appreciate you. Said, you know, you're so pretty, and you've got so many talents that aren't being used, and you're so smart, and your tail's so bushy. You know, if I was in charge, I'd do so much more for you. And you know something? He hadn't changed his technique. He still does it today. I mean, it works so well, it still works in the church today. He appeals to pride, because it was pride that was the reason he fell. You became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God and destroyed you, you covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. And that recovering cherub really means reflecting cherub. He reflected God's glory. I cast you to the ground, I laid you before kings that they may gaze on you, I defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities in the midst of your trading. Therefore I brought fire from your midst and it devoured you. And so on. We know that he was thrown out of the Garden of Eden. And Revelation 12:10 says there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels fought. And they overcame him by the word, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. And they were thrown out of heaven. Well, now, we know that when we... Let's look at Ephesians 6:10. At Ephesians 6:10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. They changed his name. Satan, devil, means the resister or the accuser. Now, Satan, it tells you in Revelations 12 that Satan stands before the throne of God, accusing the brethren day and night. You know, just as an aside, you don't ever have to tell God the faults, somebody's faults, when you're praying for him. Ladies, if you're praying for your husbands, don't recite a litany of his faults to God. God already knows what they are. You got the devil up there, and he is pointing them out to God more and charitable and effectively than you'll ever be able to. Pray for your husband. Thank God for him. Thank God for the good things, for the good parts, and ask God to bless him. Gentlemen, thank God for your wife. I tell you, all I can say is that you ought to thank God for a good woman. It says a good woman is a gift from God. And you ought to thank God for a good woman, for a good thing. Says he who finds a wife finds a good thing, is what the Scripture says. You got a wife, you ought to thank God for a good thing. Thank God for her and say, God bless her. Bring her more into the kingdom. Praise your Lord. Don't criticize your loved ones before God. Thank God for them. There was a man in India, his name was Praying Hyde. Most beautiful book on intercession. If you've never read it, you should read it. And Hyde was trying to pray for this brother who was cold and indifferent. And he said he got to the word and he said, Lord, you know how, and he could not bring himself to say how cold and indifferent he was. He just couldn't, it wouldn't come out. Not in the Holy Spirit. And then he said, he began to see that God didn't want him criticizing his brother. He wanted him to thank him. And so he began to thank him for all the good parts, anything good he could find, the fact that he was a missionary, the fact that he had answered the call, the fact that he'd come to India. And he said, you know, the man's ministry changed. He became warm and close as Hyde prayed for him. Think about that for your mates, for your parents, for your children, for your boss. For those of authority over you, for your co-workers, for your pastor. Praise your Lord. Well, I'm getting a little far afield here. Let's go back. We wrestle not against principalities and powers. Oh, here we go. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, if you have an old King James, it says high places. But that same word is translated heavenly four other places in Ephesians. It's just that the translators could not bring themselves to believe that these things had a headquarters in the heavens. So Satan was cast out. He was cast out of the third heaven, and he's now in the heavenlies. And he presides over an organized army of angels and demons. And every one of you have got demons assigned to your family name line. They're called familiar spirits. They're spirits that are familiar with your family. And there are legions of them. And they walk around and keep notes on you every day and report back to those higher up. And they've got a tremendous dossier on you. And they know you. And they know how you think. They can't read your mind, but they know your actions and know how you respond to situations. And they will manipulate situations around you to try to make you sin. They know your weaknesses. They know your sins. You know, that's how a familiar spirit works. You know, that's the way witchcraft works. That's the way divination works. That's the way the fortune teller works. Is that she has a familiar spirit, one that she is familiar with, through which she is able to manifest supernatural power. And this familiar spirit that she is familiar with, or he is familiar with, will speak to your familiar spirits and get information. Therefore, they can come up with things that they have no reason to know. It's called divination. And it's the counterfeit of the word of knowledge. You know, for every spiritual gift God gives, there is a satanic counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. Well, praise your Lord. So we can say that there are three angels mentioned in the Bible. Now, pride was the thing that brought Satan down. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:3. 1 Timothy 3:6, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 3:6. And here they're talking about qualifications for overseers, elders, overseers, presbyters, bishops, but not a novice or a new convert, lest he, being puffed up with pride, shall fall in the same condemnation as the devil. Pride. You know, it's an interesting thing. When God made two cherubims to sit on the, he made the cherubims sit on the mercy seat. He made two of them just alike facing each other. That way, you know, one of them couldn't, one of them could look at the other one and said, well, there's somebody as beautiful as I am. There's somebody else just as beautiful as I am. But pride brought them down and rebellion. Let's look at Matthew 25:41 now. Matthew 25:41 speaks of the devil and his angels so that you will know that there are other angels besides the devil. You know who speaks more about the devil than anybody else in the New Testament? I have people tell me that you're not supposed to mention his name. You're not supposed to give him any glory. You're not supposed to talk about him. That's what they say. But if you... 41. Here Jesus is speaking. This is in red letters. Then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus spoke more about the devil than anybody else. Get your concordance out and look it up. He spoke of him as the adversary, the evil one, the wicked one, and the devil. And he spoke about him more than anybody else. Paul didn't talk about him very much. But Jesus talked about him. And I tell you, if Jesus talked about him, I think you're supposed to be aware of him. He talked about what she wanted you to know. And people say that you aren't supposed to. The devil would love for you to believe he didn't exist. He would love for you to believe he didn't exist. That way he could go about nilly-willy doing his dirty work, and you won't even believe he exists. The other thing is, or else, he would like for you to make a deal with him. You know, he is a liar. and father of lies. It said that he was a liar from the beginning and father of lies. And you can't make a deal with a liar. You try to make a deal with the devil and he'll eat you alive, because he only sees a deal from one point, his side point. He will require of you everything that you said you will do, and he will do nothing for you that he promised. Only that which allows him a better hold on you. You can't make a deal with the devil. I've had people think, well, when they came under pressure and attack, they thought that if they just would slack off witnessing or slack off doing this. I had one pastor tell me that his family came under such attack that he thought maybe if he just slacked off in his ministry, he could make a deal and the devil would leave his family alone. And he did. And he eventually drove this man into sin and out of the ministry. And he's all this time trying to make a deal with the devil so the devil would just leave his family alone. Instead of taking a firm stand against him and putting a hedge up that the devil couldn't get through, he tried to make a deal with him. You can't make a deal with the devil. The only deal you can make with the devil is I bind you, I rebuke you. You can't call him dirty names. You'd like to, but you can't call him dirty names. I've heard people call him all sorts of things, slewfoot and lots of other four-letter words that I don't even want to repeat. And I tell you, you have no scriptural basis for that. Not even Michael the archangel reviled him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. God calls them. In the Bible here, they're spoken of as his glorious ones. They're still God's creatures. God created them. They're still his creatures. And he doesn't want you running them down. He's given you the authority to rebuke them and power over them. But he hasn't given you the authority to run them down and to say vile things about them. Any more than he's given you the authority to say vile things about other people. The Bible says if what you say that comes out of your mouth does not give grace to the hearer, don't say it. You know, if people did that, we'd have a whole lot less conversation. Really would. Praise God. Well, let's look at the several other scriptures. 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6 speaks of the angels who did not keep their first estate. Those are more angels who came into, those are the angels that came down and cohabitated with human women. And God put them down in the lowest part of Tarsus under chains and darkness. And so we have to understand that the base sin was pride. But the point of all of this discussion is that the Bible does not say what happened between the time the world was formed and the time Adam and Eve, that he restored the earth in 24-hour days. He restored it. He restored it in 24-hour days, people. It says very plainly in Exodus, he restored it in 24-hour days. And all of these fossils they find that go so far back, the Bible does not tell us about that period. We don't know. All the Bible is a history of the Adamic race. I won't talk about when scholars say that this began, but it didn't begin 2 billion years ago. It began with Adam, and the generations are very carefully recorded in the Bible from Adam to Christ in Luke's genealogy. You can multiply that out, and they'll tell you how old the world is. Because the world was created when Adam was born. Was not born, but was created. 6 days before that. Pride is a terrible thing. Pride leads to tail-bearing, to bitterness, and to rebellion. The devil became bitter and rebellious, and he rebelled against God. It was the original sin. Now, pride comes from the result of ambition and from self-righteousness. Let's look at Daniel 5. Let's look at Daniel 5:20. And here, Daniel is speaking to Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. And he's interpreted the handwriting on the wall and telling him he's going to lose his kingdom. And he's telling him why. And he said that your Look, let's start at verse 18. O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, that's grandfather, actually, a kingdom and a majesty of glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and language trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whoever he wished, he kept alive. Whoever he wished, he set up. Whoever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne and took the glory from him. And he goes on and tells a story that you're all familiar with. He says, because you knew all this, and yet you dared to lift up your hands and defile the garments, and God's taken your kingdom away from you. But his heart was lifted up. Pride lifted up his heart. And so it was a result of his ambition. When he saw all of his ambitions come, and he looked out over, you remember when the angels came against him, he looked out over the whole kingdom, he said, all of this I have done. And God and the angels came, and they struck him as a beast, and he went out into the field to graze for 7 years. It also comes from self-righteous exploitation. Let's look at Luke 18. And here in Luke 18, we have the two men who went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. Luke 18:10. Two men went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes on all I possess. And there he was, proud and bragging before God as to how righteous he was under the law, that he had kept the law of Moses, that he was a righteous person. And the tax collector, standing far off, could not raise his eyes to the heaven, but beat his breast, saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you that this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified. Now, justified is a good Greek word that means acquitted or made righteous. It's a legal term. Justified or made righteous rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. And so, it's because of his righteous exhortation, his pride brought righteous exhortation. And so it brings you, pride will then bring you down in rebellion. It's a very interesting word study on rebellion. Let's look at 1 Samuel 22, 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. And here it says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity as to idolatry. But if you look at the word rebellion, it comes from the Hebrew word mara, which in Exodus 15, 22 and 23, let's look over at Exodus 15, 22 and 23, it gives another meaning. And if you look these up in a standard lectionary, you will find that the first translation of that word is bitterness. First translation is rebellion. The second is bitterness. And let's look at Exodus 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was called Marah, or bitter. And so rebellion and Marah have a common root. If you become rebellious, you will become bitter. And if you become bitter, I can promise you that you will eventually rebel. One follows the other. And so they cried to the Lord. He said, the people murmured against Moses, what shall we drink? And he cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree, and when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and they tested it. And he said, if you diligently heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what's right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. That's an interesting statement. You know, I was always taught that it says, I will put none of the diseases on you. was actually a passive thing, that God just wouldn't protect you. And I spoke to my son, the Hebrew scholar. You know, I don't know a lot of Hebrew, but I have a son who's a Hebrew scholar, reads the Hebrew Bible, reads the Greek Bible, and reads the Latin Bible. And I asked him, I said, is that passive or active? And so he read it, and he looked at it, and he went and got his lectionary out, and he said, well, it is a very active verb. He said, the example quoted in the lectionary is to put on a suit of clothes. And says, so God says, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. That's just an interesting sidelight. I just sort of throw that one in. But you need to listen to God's voice. Now, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And bitterness and rebellion come from the same root. And the rest of that verse is that stubbornness is an iniquity as unto idolatry. And stubbornness runs with rebellion. If you become rebellious, you will become stubborn and unteachable. Now, rebellion does something to you. Rebellion opens you to lust. If you rebel against God, against authority that God has set over you, you come into open rebellion. This opens you to lust. Now, what is lust? Lust is a strong desire for that which is forbidden. Now, that's rebellion. When you want something you're not supposed to have, that is rebellion, and you want it real bad, and that is lust. If you are in rebellion, you can expect that you will have a lust problem. Now, what is lust? If you're unhappy with God's provision for your life, unhappy with God's call on your life, if you're unhappy with your mate that God has given you and you rebel against it, if you're unhappy with your circumstances and you think maybe you deserve to have more money, you've got enough money, you've got good food, you've got clothes on your back, you've got a nice car, you've got a car, you've got a house, your children are well fed, you've got clothes, you have enough to meet your needs and something to share with others, but you'd like to have more, like the other folks have. You know, they got two cars, and I only got one. Or they got two television sets. Or they got a 36-inch set. We only got a 24-inch set. I mean, these are things that people get all bent out of shape about. You're unhappy with your circumstances. It will open you to lust. And you will envy and covet and will open you to the curse. Unhappy with your job that God's put you in. Unhappy with the way your kids are acting. You know, your son, he's got an offer of a good job in the next town. Maybe the next state. But you want him close by so you can see your grandchildren every day. So you can see what's going on. So you can tell him what to do. So you can control his life. So he can go to the church he's supposed to go to. And won't associate with these bad people. You can control his friends. Mother can control her daughter. Husband, father can control his son, and vice versa. That's witchcraft, people. How many people come into witchcraft trying to control their grown children? Actions. And so those things are the type of rebellion I'm talking about. And they open you to lust. They open you to the lust of the eye. Remember 1 John, let's look at 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. All right, so we see the lust of the eye. What's the lust of the eye? It's things you can see. Pornography, sexual lust, envy, jealousy, inordinate desires, the lust of the flesh, overeating. You get mad, you get rebellious, you get bitter. Christians can't drink liquor. You go to some churches, and they go to the martini bottle, and they become one of the sipping saints. You go to a spirit-filled Christian, unhappy, rebellious, things aren't going right, they eat in the cookie jar, Coca-Colas, and get fat. That's one reason for it. Overeating is a sign of rebellion, a sign of fear, starvation. There are lots of other reasons for it. Overeating is a very, very hard problem to handle. I used to weigh about a little over 200 pounds, and God in His grace set me free. Thank you, Jesus, because I could not do it without you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But overeating is a very difficult problem, and of all the people that I have asked to pray for me, the hardest ones to pray for are the people who come and say, I weigh too much, I want to lose weight. Earnest, sincere Christian people. And it's very difficult to work with them. It's very difficult to see any gains. It's just hard. Lust of the flesh, fornication. It's an attempt to find love. Overeating is an attempt to satisfy needs. Desire for things is an attempt to satisfy. How many people feel that if they just had just a little bit more, they just had another car, or just had another piece of furniture. I know one lady, she just felt like if she just had just a little bit more furniture, and she finally got so much furniture in the house, she had to sort of walk around. You couldn't walk straight across the room because it was packed full of furniture, and she was just as unhappy when it was full of furniture as when it was empty. She also had about 2 months' supply of groceries in her kitchen cabinets because she didn't want to starve. She just made her feel good to have all that food in there. Desire for things. And the last is the pride of life. That's a hard one. It's desire for power, desire for wealth, desire for position. Desire for power, to be able to control people's lives, to be able to control people over you. Witchcraft is a desire, according to Webster's International Dictionary, witchcraft is the control of persons or supernatural events by supernatural power through contract with the devil. Read, look it up. I may be paraphrasing slightly, but witchcraft involves the person who is trying to manipulate circumstances to control their children all the way down to the witch who is casting curses for pay. And to God, it's all the same. To God, it is all the same. And rebellion is just as bad. Praise the Lord God. And so, stubbornness comes with rebellion. People become unteachable. They become unteachable. You can't tell them anything. They have all. And it's an iniquity. Iniquity just means evil. So what's the result of all of this? Result of rebellion is to bring you into a position that you come under a curse from God, that the devil can manipulate your life. Now, this afternoon, we're going to come against... Praise you, Lord. We're going to come against some conditions, some spirits. We're going to come against the spirit of rebellion and the spirits of pride, and stubbornness, and lust. Now, in a mass deliverance service, I will lead you in a prayer, and we'll break some curses, and then I will command these spirits. Now, spirits, the Hebrew word for spirit is breath, and they generally come out through the breathing passages. And so you just relax and breathe out Don't pray in the spirit. Just listen to the words of what's being called out. And you say, if it's in me, and you just think, if it's in me, go. Just go in the name of Jesus. And just set your will against it to go. Don't pray in tongues. Keep both feet on the floor. I'm going to break some curses over you, because almost everyone is under the curse of witchcraft. And one of the things that will block deliverance is unforgiveness. If you have any unforgiveness in your heart against anyone, you need to forgive them. Forgiveness is an act of your will. God says in Matthew, let's look at Matthew 18 real quick. God says that he forgave you a tremendous debt. He forgave you all your sins. And he expects you to forgive everyone who's ever hurt you. If you look at Matthew 18, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often my brother sinned against me, that I should forgive him up to seven times. And Jesus said to him, I did not say up to you seven times, but 70 times seven. And then he goes on and gives the parable of the unforgiving servant, which I'm sure all of you, and I will paraphrase it slightly. A man was brought to him, couldn't pay what he owed him. And he fell down before the master and said, have patience and I'll pay it all. He owed about several billion dollars. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave the servant. But he had ordered him that he should be sold. Let's look at this. I think this is always interesting him. Look at verse 25. But he was not able to pay his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, that payment should be made. Father, you see that responsibility you bear for your sins that they are perpetrated down on your wife and your children. Praise you, Lord. But if the master forgave him and was moved with compassion and released him, forgave the debt, and then he went out and grabbed somebody who owed him a 3 months' wages, 100 denarii, and said, pay me, you rascal! And he didn't pay him, and he refused to have compassion and had him thrown in jail. Put him in the debtor's prison. And when the other servants found out about it, they went and told the master. And verse 32 says, And then his master called and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have compassion on your fellow servants, I had pity on you. And the master was angry and delivered him up to the torturers. Now the old King James says the tormentors. The New International says put him in jail. And the New American Standard, I think, says tormentors. But whatever they are, you don't want anything to do with them, I can assure you. That he delivered him over the torture, should he pay all that was due. And so my Heavenly Father will do to you if you, from your heart, do not forgive your brother his trespasses. And that's a clincher. If you've got unforgiveness, it blocks deliverance. I mean, they got a legal right to you. If you got unforgiveness, they got a legal right to you. Now, forgiveness is an act of the will. It's something that you decide you're going to do. It's not an emotion. It's an act of the will. And when you forgive somebody, you say, Lord, I forgive them. I tell people to look at Matthew 6, and it says, pray for those who've abused you and used you and abused and spitefully used you, that you may be a son of your child, a child of your Father who's in heaven. If you will pray for the people who have actually hurt you, and you go down and ask God to bless them and bring them to salvation, just bless them, Lord. God will heal you. Let's look at Job. God showed me that in Job one day so very plainly. You remember Job, the story of Job? Job was lost everything and had boils all over him and was sitting out on the dung heap. His wife had thrown him out of the house. He stunk so bad. And he was sitting out there and his three friends came and they looked around and they sat and they were just so horrified at the way he looked, they couldn't speak to him for a week. And finally they began to talk to him and they said, come on now, Job, fess up. What's your sin? God wouldn't do this to you unless you'd sinned. And Job kept saying, I haven't done anything that I know of. And they kept after him, and they kept after him, and they were praise like some modern Pentecostals will do you. Praise the Lord. They kept after it. He's Job's comforter. And finally God appeared and he said, if you people will go and take a sacrifice to Job and ask him to pray for you, I'll heal you. And so it was spoken, these words to Job. The Lord said to Ephaz, Tunamite, my wife, my wrath is aroused against you and your friends. For you have spoken, you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to Job, my servant, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. My servant Job shall pray for you, and I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. And so Ephatah, Dunamite, Bilead, and somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else, went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And get verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. When did Job get healed and get his losses restored? When he prayed for those people who had sat there and tormented him. Now, I think that is very interesting. God showed me that once. I tell you, if you will pray for those people who have wronged you, if you will sit down and earnestly pray for them, God will heal you. He will heal you. He will deal. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. There is no partiality with God. And God will deal with your accusers as he sees fit. Maybe not the way you want it done, but he will do it according to his sovereign grace. But he will heal you. And that's what matters. He will heal you as you pray for your friend. And he will change you. God will work in your heart, and he will change you. And that matters. As God heals you and changes you, and that's what we want. And he will make us in his image. And that's what we want. We want Jesus to shine out of our lives. And as you pray and be obedient to the word of God, God will work in your life. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now everybody stand up now and let's praise him a little bit. It is said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Okay, we can sit down now. You put both feet on the floor and repeat after me. Dear Lord, I want to be free, Lord God. I want to be free, Lord, from being stubborn, being rebellious, being bitter, being prideful, being haughty. Lord, I confess these things as sin. I ask forgiveness on the blood of Jesus Christ. Your word says, Lord, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I confess there have been people in my life that I have resented and held unforgiveness in my heart. Lord, if I do forgive, Lord God, anyone who's ever hurt me. Lord, if there's anyone that I need to name, please bring it to mind by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Now, we'll just wait a minute.
If the Lord brings anything to mind, just mention it quietly under your breath. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Anything that he brings to mind that you know stands between you and him, I want you to confess it now. There's nothing like confession and repentance. Praise your Lord. For God wishes that everyone would repent and turn to him. Lord, I forgive myself. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you've made me a child of God. That I'm not a rejected child. That you are my Father. Jesus is my big brother. That I'm a child of God. And I'll never be rejected. You'll always love me with an everlasting love. Thank you, Father. I accept your spirit of adoption. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I confess the sins of my ancestors. Lord, I ask you to break any curses on me, on my family line, because of the sins of my ancestors. I ask that you break the curse of rebellion, of whoredom, of hardiness, of bitterness on my line. The curse of illegitimacy. The curse of incest and fornication. Thank you, Lord. Satan, I serve you notice. I'm closing this door. I'm sealing it shut. You can come this way no more. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, you spirits, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. For it is written in Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now you leave me in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of rejection, now you leave God's people now in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All you spirits of rejection. Every spirit of rejection in this place, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. These are God's people. They've been adopted by Jesus Christ. They've been adopted by God. Jesus Christ is their big brother. In the name of Jesus, turn them loose now. Turn them loose now. All you spirits of rejection. All you spirits of being unwanted. In the name of Jesus. Rejected by mother. Rejected by father. Rejected by friends. All you spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you. We command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. All fear. Fear. All spirits of fear in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rebellion. All spirits of fear. All spirits of rebellion in the name of Jesus. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the curse of whoredom in the name of Jesus. We command all witchcraft to leave now in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft, all divination in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft, all divination in the name of Jesus. All you divination spirits, all you witchcraft spirits, all you control spirits in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out of them in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All of you in the name of Jesus. All spirits of lust. Lust. The lust of the eye. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life. All lust spirits. All you spirits of lust. Come on out. All pornography spirits. All pornography spirits in the name of Jesus. All pornography spirits. All spirits of the television pornography in the name of Jesus. All spirits. All you spirits of the commercials in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus. All you fornication spirits in the name of Jesus. All you lust spirits. The lust of the eye. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All envy. Envy and jealousy in the name of Jesus. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people now. All jealousy, envy, envy and jealousy in the name of Jesus Christ. All envy and jealousy. You've got no right to God's people. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose. All envy and jealousy in the name of Jesus Christ. All covetousness. All spirits of covetousness and idolatry in the name of Jesus.
All you spirits of covetousness in the name of Jesus, turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose. All you covetous spirits, all you spirits of coveting other people's possessions, coveting other people's husbands, other people's children, other people's things in the name of Jesus Christ, other people's jobs. All of you, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All coveting spirits, all envying spirits in the name of Jesus. All spirits of bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All poverty spirits that come in. All spirits of poverty that came in the name of Jesus Christ through covetousness in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the devourer in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of devouring in the name of Jesus have come into God's people. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. We break your hold in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your hold. Spirit of the vagabond, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. All vagabond spirits. All spirits of vagabond in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Come out of them now. Come on out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus Christ. All you spirits, turn them loose now. Come on out. All you lust of the flesh now. Come out. Come on out. All lust. All gluttony. All gluttony in the name of Jesus Christ. All God of the belly. We rebuke the God of the belly in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus. All God of the belly in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All gluttony. All gluttony in the name of Jesus. All lust for sweets. All lust for sweets. All lust for meat. All lust for fat in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. All lust for fat, for fatty foods, for sweet foods in the name of Jesus Christ. All lust in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose. All lust for meat. All lust for meat. All lust for rare meat in the name of Jesus. All lust for bloody meat. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. All lust spirits. Come on out. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. All fornication spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All you spirits of fornication now in the name of Jesus. All spirits, fornication spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All unclean devils, unclean spirits, spirits of uncleanliness in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. All spirits of death and abortion in the name of Jesus. Come out of God's people. All spirits of death and abortion in the name of Jesus, I bind you now. I just bind you and say, come out in the name of Jesus. Don't you tear anybody. Just come out quietly in the name of Jesus. I know you're there. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I stand here in the power of Almighty God, and I say, turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All abortion spirits, all death spirits, all murder spirits in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. Come on out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We bind you. We bind all of you in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. All spirits of unhappiness. All spirits of unhappiness. Turn God's people loose. All spirits of unhappiness. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose now. All spirits of unhappiness, unhappy spirits, spirits of discontent, unhappiness in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All spirits of discontent and unhappiness in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All spirits of discontent and unhappiness in the name of Jesus. All spirits unhappy, unhappy with your job, unhappy with your friends, unhappy with your clothes, unhappy with your car, unhappy with your circumstances, unhappy with your wife, unhappy with your husband, unhappy with your children. All spirits of discontent in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of haughtiness, you haughty devil, you spirit of haughtiness now in the name of Jesus. You haughty spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. Pride, come on out. Root of pride, stiff neck pride, come on out. Come on out. Spirit of the stiff neck. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of pride, stiff-necked. Come on out, all you stiff-necked spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind you now. Turn God's people loose. All stiff-necked spirits, all haughty spirits, all better-than-thou spirits in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. All pride, in the name of Jesus. All pride of accomplishment. All pride of intellect. Come on out. All intellectual spirits. All pride intellectual spirits in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. All pride intellectual accomplishment in the name of Jesus. I just bind all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. All unclean spirits now. All spirits of uncleanliness. All spirits of unclean spirits. I bind you now in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of uncleanliness in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of oral genital sex in the name of Jesus. I just bind you and say, leave God's people now. Just leave them. All spirits in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Come on out of them. Leave quietly. Leave quietly. All spirits of PMS in the name of Jesus. All spirits of premenstrual tension. I bind you now. I say, leave God's people. You can't torment them anymore. All tormenting spirits, PMS, leave now in the name of Jesus. I just bind you. All migraine headaches, I bind you and I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. All of you, come on out of them in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All you unclean devils in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of infirmity. Every spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. All spirits of bitterness. I speak to the spirits of bitterness and arthritis in the name of Jesus. All spirits of bitterness and arthritis in the name of Jesus. I speak to all spirits of arthritis. And I bind you. And I command you to leave God's people now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of bitterness and arthritis in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. All spirits of glaucoma in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of glaucoma and blindness of eye disease in the name of Jesus. All spirits of hay fever, allergies, I bind you. All spirits of hay fever and allergy and asthma and emphysema, turn God's people loose. I break the curses over you. I break all the curses and I command that you leave now in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. All hay fever, all hay fever, all asthma. In the name of Jesus Christ, all colitis, all allergic colitis and gastritis in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Come on out of them in the name of Jesus. I speak to the spirits of pyrrhea in the name of Jesus, of gum disease, which would cheat people out of their teeth in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. I come against the spirits of heart disease, all heart disease. All heart disease, all lung disease, all heart failure in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. Come on out. 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 All heart disease in the name of Jesus. All pain in the chest in the name of Jesus Christ. All pain in the stomach. I come against all gastritis in the name of Jesus. And duodenitis in the name of Jesus. And colitis in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All enteritis in the name of Jesus. All inflammation in the bowels in the name of Jesus. I come against the root of bitterness in the liver. I come against the root of bitterness and envy in the liver in the name of Jesus. I come against colitis in the name of Jesus. I come against colasia in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, leave them now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against endometriosis in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of endometriosis in the name of Jesus. And mitten smirks in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose now. I come against the spirits of cancer. Cancer of the breast. Cancer of the liver, cancer of the stomach, cancer of the colon, cancer of the womb, cancer of the cervix, cancer of the bladder, all cancer. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All cancer spirits, leave now. Come out of God's people. In the name of Jesus, every one of you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just thank you and praise you for it, my Lord, in the name of Jesus. All bladder spirits now, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of chlamydia, in the name of Jesus, and herpes, come out in the name of Jesus. All shingles, shingles, herpetic shingles, in the name of Jesus, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All herpetic lesions, in the name of Jesus, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all herpes. In the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. All human papillomaviruses, I bind you in the name of Jesus and command that you leave. I command that you dry up. I curse you to your roots. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all muscle pain now. I come against all muscle pain, all weakness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I speak to the joints. I speak to the backbone. I say, line up with the Word of God. I speak to the neck bones. I say, line up with the Word of God. I speak to the hip bones and the leg bones, and I say, line up with the Word of God. Line up in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restoration in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, touch him with your Spirit now, Lord God. Just touch him, Lord God. Oh, God, touch him now, Lord God. Fill him now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill him full, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Touch your people now, Lord God. Touch your people, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Everybody hold up their hands now. Praise God. Touch your people now, Lord God. Touch your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Praise and bless you and glorify you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we just ask you now, Lord, pull your Spirit out, Lord God. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Lord, I loosen the Spirit of healing and restoration on these people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I loosen it according to the authority of your word. Lord, I stand here and I release the spirit of healing and restoration, Lord, in the name of Jesus. For you said that you would restore what the caterpillar, canker worm, the palmer worm, and the locust has eaten, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I speak healing and restoration. Lord, now I ask that the war angels go forth, Lord. Lord, I send forth the war angels, Lord, to break any containers containing part of their soul, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I send the ministering spirits out, Lord, to gather up the parts of that tattered soul that have been stolen by the enemy, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I say, by Lord, you said you lead us beside green pastures, Lord, and still waters, and that you would restore our soul. Restore them now, Lord. Restore them, Lord. Make them the child of God that you envisioned before the foundation of the earth. Oh, God, restore them, Lord. For by your stripes, Lord, you bore our infirmities and our sorrows and our sickness and our pain. And by your stripes, Lord, you bruised for our iniquities, Lord. You were wounded for our transgressions, Lord God. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, Lord. And by your stripes we have been healed, Lord God. By your stripes, Lord. By your stripes, Lord God, by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you for it now, Lord. Fill them now, Lord. Fill everybody here, Lord. I loosen the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and fear of the Lord. Just loosen it now in the name of Jesus to fill them full, Lord. Let's stand up and praise him now, people. Praise you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.